what the BRICS group of countries is becoming, and I believe it's becoming this to one degree or another, through the circumstances that were created by two conflicts. First, the Ukraine war, and second, the genocide in Gaza. It's becoming a real political and economic coalition that operates in concert to establish a de facto parallel organizational order that is intended to rival and eventually replace the Western world order. I mean, you get the impression that the leaders of all of these countries begin their meetings whenever they meet each other. They synchronize their watches. You know, now they have three OPEC countries. And it's four if you talk about OPEC plus. And with the inclusion of Egypt and Ethiopia into BRICS, now the Suez Canal is completely under BRICS jurisdiction. The Straits of Hormuz is basically also in the hands of BRICS. If Indonesia and Malaysia join BRICS, then you have the Straits of Malacca, basically the most vital trade corridors in the world, and most of the most important ports as well. BRICS is accumulating strategic assets by orders of magnitude every time they expand. And all of these assets, I believe, are corralled into a single pool of resources that can be employed or deployed or utilized for the advancement of their overall agenda, the team agenda of BRICS, which again is to establish an alternative world order, a world order that effectively neutralizes the United States. And I believe that this is happening, or rather it's endorsed by the more global oriented factions of the OCGFC. I think that they've co-signed on this. And this stems from the fact that the corporate and the financial elites in the world have transcended borders and are largely have largely captured state power. So they're no longer beholden to any particular country or any particular government. They have subsumed states, including the United States. And so Western countries, including America, are eligible for the same sort of predation and exploitation that used to be reserved for the Global South. So I think that they've made the calculation that what worked and what was profitable in the past in their approach to the so-called developing world, now that same approach will work and be profitable when applied to the West. And since the collective West is undergoing a demographic nosedive, I mean, they're not replenishing their workers, they're not replenishing their consumer pool, it doesn't make much business sense to prioritize them. It doesn't make business sense to treat their comfort, Westerners' comfort, their relative privilege and security, and their quality of life. It's not worth protecting or preserving anymore for business. It also doesn't make any sense anymore to have a single country violently dominating the globe, if for no other reason than, again, the demographic imbalance. The future belongs to wherever the young people are. And if you violently impose your agenda on those young people, you will obviously alienate them. You're going to end up trying to hold an entire crowd at bay with a gun that only shoots blanks, and the crowd knows it. So another approach is necessary. Another strategy is necessary. And I think that private sector power can see that. And the strategy that they know is the only way forward is to collaborate with BRICS to basically de-radicalize the conditions in the Middle East and the Global South generally in terms of violence and conflict. The tone politically for BRICS, their approach to the world is being set by China largely. And China's approach to international relations is one of harmony and collaboration and cooperation, not violent domination and hegemonic consolidation of power. I mean, look at what just happened between Iran and Pakistan. I didn't talk about it. I didn't do a video about it, even though I got flooded with requests to do a video about it and to talk about it. But I believed that it wasn't going to escalate. I believed, and I still do believe, that all of that happened within the context of coordination. Nobody got taken out except for Western assets in those tit-for-tat attacks between Iran and Pakistan. Nobody got taken out but Western assets. And then it was all over. I'm telling you, the BRICS nations and the Global South nations, they've circled their wagons. I've said it before. Now, of course, my concern is, that obviously the owners and controllers of global financialized capital are wanting to cooperate and collaborate with BRICS and with the Global South so that they can co-opt and appropriate and insinuate themselves into having undue influence so that they can essentially replicate the current system, so that the current system can re-emerge after the transition, only just relocated. That's the thing that I worry about. I mean, the deterioration of American power is not something I worry about. It's not something I wonder about, because that's just the irreversible trajectory of the world. American politicians may not realize it yet. That's true. They may not want to realize it. But I think more and more of them are probably getting the memo. And that's why you see the change in tone and a change in language by people like Blinken, who is himself a neocon. But he's changing his tone. Because you have to. Now, what I see long term is that BRICS is going to increasingly morph into a Muslim bloc. I mean, how could it not? The most vital natural resources belong to Muslim BRICS members. China has a serious demographic and other internal problems. Russia is a rapidly evaporating power. And those two countries are building BRICS as a lifeline for themselves. But I don't think it's going to work long term. Both of these current powers, I think, are going to fade dramatically in the last half of the 21st century. Muslim power and influence, on the other hand, it will just continue to grow. I mean, Muslims are the youngest demographic group. And the most, as I've said many times, the most cohesive global identity group. So what's being built now by BRICS in terms of economic and political cooperation, integration, solidarity, and harmonious orchestrated regional policy, that's going to become a system that the Muslims will inherit. And that functionally will resemble in many ways the classic decentralized coordinated power system that we had for 1400 years. You have to think long term. If you're only thinking short term, then you're very likely going to undermine long term goals and objectives. And you're going to miss opportunities that are coming your way if you just be patient enough to reach them or let them reach you. This is the way that things are moving in the world. And the only way for us to not reach this outcome is if we stumble now, or if we allow ourselves to get tricked. So if you get, you know, perturbed because Shahid is always defending the Arab regimes, then you're just a short-term thinker and you're a liability. Because look, we need stability now. We need solidarity now. We need unity now. More than ever, we need it now. Because the West is trying to trip us up. They're trying to make us stumble. And not necessarily because they want to maintain the status quo, but because they want to ensure that the future just replicates the status quo in another hemisphere. They want the transition to the global South to just be another chapter in the history of colonization. And if we undermine our governments now, then we're just helping them write that chapter for them. But what we need to be doing is not just writing a new chapter. We need to be writing a new book altogether. Our own book in our own languages, with our own beliefs and our own values and our own philosophy, teaching our lessons and our knowledge to the world.